Mark chapter number 5, and we preached out of the same passage of scripture or the same chapter last week, and we're going to continue on, and I pray it be a blessing to you. Last week, I'll just give some background. Last week, we talked about the maniac of Gadaris, and we talked about Jesus going to the other side, you'll remember, and as he went to the other side and he got there on the seashore, this maniac, this demon-possessed man of the Gadarene, he comes running out and meets Jesus. The Bible says he fell down at his feet. Anyhow, we know that he had many devils within him, and Jesus cast them out and cast them into swine. The swine ran violently down the hill into the sea and were choked out. And the townspeople come, and they found the man that had all the demons. They found him sitting and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And so we talked about last week, and we left off with the fact that Jesus came for him. I talked about how Christ, he knew all things. And so he made that trip across the sea. He got there to the seashore, never left the seashore, got back on the boat and went back to ministering to people. And we talked about how God came for just one. That's all he came, just one. That's how important you are to God. That he'd cross over a sea. And in that crossing, by the way, Satan tried to kill him with a storm. And he calmed the storm. But all that took place so that one person could be saved. And he left. And you'll remember he told that that man that had been cured of the demons and devils, that he could not go with him, but for him to go back to his family and him to go back home and to let everybody know. And we find out that he went and he told everybody. He went to Decapolis, which was 10 cities, and he started just letting everybody know what Jesus had done for him and the compassion that Jesus had showed him, even though the townspeople didn't want anything to do with him. We come and now that's kind of getting us up to chapter or verse number 20. And we'll start reading in verse number 21. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." I'll say this and move on quickly. A lot of folks are living in a day and time, and they think that there's a chosen few. Somebody help me right here. There's just a few people going to heaven. These churches that run in 20 and 30, they constantly say, "We got 20 or 30, but they're saved," as if somebody that's running a larger church doesn't have folks that's saved in it. I want to point out something. Every time you see Jesus in Scripture, there was a multitude. And I say this, if a church is preaching him and a church is lifting him up, then you're going to have a multitude of people. I need some help this morning. He came for everybody. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care what your problems are. He came for everybody. Hey, listen, if he'll come for a maniac, somebody help me right here. If he'll come for somebody that's possessed by demons, to the point of this, there was 2,000 swine that ran off into that sea. That means that there was 2,000 demons in that man. At least 2,000 demons. Somebody help me right here. I don't know of anybody that's sitting in church this morning that has that many demons. I do know some other folks that might, all right? All right. But if he'll save him and he's that important to him, how important are you? Bible goes on in verse number 22 and says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Now, I'm going to get to this. I'll probably preach this next Sunday, this little portion of Scripture, but I had to get us to where we're going this morning. All right, Jairus comes to him. He comes to the other side, a throng. Once again, a lot of people come around him. And Jairus comes to him and says, "I have a little daughter that she's on the point of death. She is dying on her deathbed. I need you to come where she is at." We see in the first instance that Jesus came to where the maniac of Gadaris was. Nobody come and got Jesus. Nobody told him about the Gadara, the maniac there. He came to where he was. But in this story, we see a man, Jairus, coming on behalf of somebody else. Jairus comes and he brings Jesus. We'll talk about that next week. But what I want to get to right here this morning is verse number 25. The Bible says while he is following Jairus, while he is going with Jairus to go see this little girl, the Bible says this, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's where we get our title this morning. Everybody has issues. Somebody say amen. The Bible says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? I'm going to stop right here and go back because I want you to notice something before we go too far. Immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. That doesn't mean that honor or grace or any of those things had gone out of him. That word right there has a meaning of power. He noticed that power went out of him. That doesn't mean that he was powerless. Somebody help me right here. It just means that's what that word is. Matter of fact, that same word, when it's translated in English, is where we get the word dynamite from. And so we see here that she touched him, and he turns around and in verse number 30, and he asks a question, who touched my clothes? Now, come on now, I need somebody to be serious with me right here. This man was in the middle, all kind of people around him. The Bible says it was a press. In other words, they was all together. And somebody, can I say this? A lot of people touched him. But he turned around and he said, there's one in particular that has touched me this morning. Who touched me? And let me tell you how spiritual the disciples were. They were like, are you serious, man? This is cotton patch language, all right? This ain't got nothing. This is my version of the Bible. Are you serious, dude? You asking who touched you? Everybody's touched you. What do you mean who touched your clothes? I touched your clothes a few minutes ago. Everybody's touched you. The Bible says, verse number 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Verse number 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, I like that. He said unto her, daughter, I'm going to say it again. He didn't even know who she was. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. We'll stop our reading right there and go back. Let's talk about this thing. I want to say this morning that all of us have issues. I have issues. Somebody say amen. We all have issues. Some of us don't have as many issues as others. Some of our issues ain't as big as others, but we all have issues. Some of our issues may be concerning the things that people cannot see. Some of our issues may be concerning things like anger, things like malice, things like bitterness, things like covetousness, things like jealousy, things like envy, things that are not seen so much on the outside. Some of us have issues that are seen in a physical sense. There's some of us that are sick. There's some of us that have things going on with our health that people know about and that people are going through. Can I say this? We all have issues. Somebody's sitting in here and they have an issue with a relationship. Maybe their marriage just ain't what it's supposed to be. Maybe their relationship with their child isn't just what it's supposed to be. Maybe their relationship with their parent ain't where it needs to be. But every single one of us has issues. And a lot of times, we spend a lot of time trying to cure our own issues. I want you to notice three things about this woman, and I'll be done, and I'll sit down, and we'll go on and eat some chicken. Somebody say amen. I noticed, first off, her ailment. She had a disease. The Bible says that this disease was 12 years running. Because of this disease, she would be deemed ceremonially and socially unclean. meaning that she could not be around anybody else. If she touched anybody, they were made unclean. If she come in contact, or let me say this, if you were to come in contact to a place that she had sat, or a place that she had laid, or a place that she had been, you would be considered unclean until the evening time. If you were to lay with this woman, if she was your wife, then you would be unclean for a period of 7 days after you had removed and separated yourself from her. And so this woman, I want you to understand, could not even have a husband. She had already had everything taken away from her because of her ailment. Can I say that a lot of times our issues, they may seem small, but our issues tend to take everything away from us. Our issues tend to affect every part and every aspect of our life if we'll let it. She had a disease. It was not something of her own doing. It was not something that she brought upon herself. It was not something that she could control. It was not something that she could go back and say, I don't want to do it anymore, so I'm going to be healed. Matter of fact, Luke, the great physician, the physician here in the scripture that wrote the book of Luke, was a doctor, and he said this about this same miracle. He said this woman had gone to all the doctors and could not be healed. She had no hope. The Bible tells us here that she went to each one of these doctors, and it tells us two things about these doctors, that she suffered greatly because of them. I was reading some stuff, man. They had some stuff on the about this disease and some of the rabbis, their home remedies. How many of y'all know about home remedies? I got a sinus infection that I need to go see my doctor about. And I have, somebody help me right here. I got some Highsmith honey. I need some help. Glory to God. I'm talking about taking it by the tablespoons. Is everybody all right? Hey, but it's helped my voice. I just say that. I've been taking it morning. I've been taking it night. Let me just go ahead and encourage you to go buy you a bottle of that Highsmith honey. Don't be giving it away now, all right? You can only do that for the preacher. But I know all about home remedies. I remember my Michelle's brother, we were working on a building. We was putting up a metal building, and one of the bands that flipped open, and it sliced his foot wide open. I mean, it was pouring blood and everything else, and they nominated me to drive to the hospital because I could get him there the fastest. Anyhow, we were like, man, we ain't going anywhere with that happening. I never forget. I'm telling you, Michelle's country is cornbread. Her mama ran over there into the barn right next to this building. She went to grabbing all these spider webs. If I'm lying, I'm dying. She brought all these spider webs in here, and she just packed them into that thing. And we took off to the doctor with his foot not bleeding anymore. I was like, it works, amen. Any of you nurses and everything sitting there, y'all crazy. Them people didn't know. I mean, we lived 30 miles from the hospital. It wasn't like you just let it keep going. Here she had, I was doing some reading up on some of these things, and these people were telling them that they'd have to peel an onion and boil it in wine and then say a saying over it to be loosed of this issue of blood. And I mean, that was all kind of stuff. Could you imagine what this woman went through? Trying to get rid of something that the Bible says she couldn't have got rid of. The Bible, Luke said there wasn't no healing. There wasn't no way for her to be healed. Luke says it couldn't happen. The doctors made her suffer through all of their process, but they also cost her everything she had. The Bible says that she lost all of her money. It cost her great money. Luke says she lost her livelihood. I want somebody to help me right here. Not only this woman has lost her husband, she's lost her family. She can't come in contact with her children. She can't come in contact with her mama. She can't come in contact with her daddy or husband, any of them. And now she goes to the doctors and they have taken everything from her. She had a disease she couldn't cure, but she had a determination. She tried everything she could to do it. But I want you to notice, lastly, her dilemma. She couldn't. I need somebody to help me right here. Listen, what your issue is, you've tried everything in the world. Some of you tried entertainment. Some of you tried drugs. Some of you tried alcohol. Some of you tried new friends. Some of you tried new places to live. Some of you tried new jobs. You've tried everything in the world to try to get over your issue, and it's still there. I'm going to need more help than that this morning. It's still there. you clam up and you don't want to talk to anybody. You put up a wall. You put up a defense and don't want to have to deal with anybody. And you think you're handling your disease, but you're not. Your issue's still there. Your issue's going to be there tomorrow. Your issue's going to be there the next day as long as you keep trying to fix it yourself. As I was reading this thing, I was doing some reading up on this thing, and one author said this: according to the Jewish ideas of the time, if this woman touched anyone, she made him or her ceremonially unclean. This uncleanness did not allow them, listen, to take part in any aspect of Israel's worship. Can I say that your issue is keeping you from worship too? Oh, that was good. I don't care who you are. If I'd have wrote a book, y'all would have shouted right there, all right? Hey, I don't care what your issue is. It's keeping you from worship. You try to pass it off and justify it? Well, I just don't worship like that, but that ain't the case. The fact is your issue won't let you worship. Oh, I need somebody to help me right now. Your issue won't let you worship. You look at everybody else and you see them and say, I can't believe they're doing that. I seen them the other day and they were cussing. I need some help. Don't get all quiet on me. I know who I'm preaching to then. We look at everybody else and we look all the way around us and we measure up our worship to somebody else, but your issue is keeping you from worshiping. The very thing that she could not do anything about was the very thing that was keeping her from worship. Now, we're going to see something here in a little bit, and I don't want to get ahead of myself right here, but I'll say this. Our issues keep us from worshiping. Good. And you better be careful. You carrying around an issue, and you don't want to get rid of it. Somebody say amen. Some people don't want to get rid of their issues. Yeah. They like to nurture them. They like to pet them up. Like the baby, like to pat them on the back. Keep them in there. Is everybody all right? Let me tell you about one issue that's killing our churches today. It's pride. Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about that kind of issue. What was you talking about? What about that pride that's keeping you from worshiping this morning? Oh, somebody might notice if I raise my hand. Somebody might say something if I shout. Somebody, you know what? Around here, somebody might say something if you don't. Just go ahead and fit in. Somebody say amen. This was another thing that was, another author wrote this. By the very law of her people, she was divorced from her husband and could not live in her home. She was ostracized from all society and must not come into contact with her old friends. She was excommunicated from the services of the synagogue and thus shut out from the women's courts in the temple. She was all alone. Her issue, can I say this? The issue will isolate you. Man, I'm going to preach until somebody gets it this morning. We got started early so I can preach longer. Amen. Hey, your issue will isolate you. It'll start making you think that you're the only one going through this. It'll start making you think that God has left you and God's walked off from you because you can't figure it out on your own. How many has ever prayed to God and asked him for something and then tried to do it yourself? And then got upset with him because you couldn't do it. Somebody help me right here. Hey, listen here. This woman tried everything. Everything was taken away from her. Everything, because of her issue, everything was taken away from her. But she had one last shot. Let's take a look at that, if you will. We see her ailment. I want you to notice her, not only her ailment, but her approach. She had knowledge. I want you to notice first off about her approach. She had knowledge of him. The Bible says in verse number 27, when she had heard of Jesus. Can I say this? This woman didn't know anything about him other than what she had heard. But what she had heard about him, she knew that he was able to. I need somebody to help me right here. I need somebody to understand something. You might not know him this morning, but you've heard of him. And if you ain't heard of him, you're going to hear about him before the end of this service right here. Hey, listen, this woman didn't have any knowledge of him. She wasn't on a first name basis with him. She had never seen him before, but she had heard about him. Somebody had come along her way and said, hey, I'm telling you what, there's a man called Jesus. He's Jesus of Nazareth. That man come by my way. I couldn't walk, but he touched me and I began to walk. I couldn't see, but he touched me and I began to see. I couldn't speak, but he touched me and I began to speak. She said, well, I can't get to him this way. I'm too dirty. I'm unclean. I can't get to him this way. He's not going to come to me. I'm going to have to go to him. I need somebody to help me this morning. She had a knowledge of him. She had a knowledge of him. And it brought her to reach out for him. There was a lot of people in that crowd that morning. There was a lot of people that was around him that day. I need somebody to help me. Let's just illustrate it, if we will. I need somebody to help me right here. I need a good Jesus. Come here, Black. You can be Jesus, all right? He's going to be Jesus. That's his name. Don't even look at me that way. I need somebody else to come in here and help me, all right? All right, I need somebody. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. All you boys, come on. All you teenagers, y'all come on, a bunch of ugly people. Come on. I didn't say you were a man.
Yes. What did you
say? And we wonder what's wrong. Somebody help me right here. We wonder what's wrong with America today. God help us. All right. Jesus. Everybody get around him. The Bible says that he was thronged about. In other words, he was pressed. I need some more people. Come on. Come on, all you unsaved people, y'all over here. Come on. Come on. Hogan, I don't want you up there. You're too tall. I can't see over you. All right. All the people, listen to me. This woman was unclean. Her approach to Jesus, she was going to get to him. Because of her uncleanness, they couldn't come to her. Because of her uncleanness, she couldn't go and ask somebody to come. So she did it in secret. And she wanted to get to him. But as he was going, there was a throng about him. There was a lot of people. The Bible says that it was a press. I don't know. I've preached it before where she crawled in there. And she very well could have done that. But what I want you to notice is that it took effort to get to him. I need somebody to help me right here. It took effort to get to him. Can I say that these people right here, they had issues. All these people around him had issues, and they wanted their issues fixed too. Man, they wanted their issues fixed too. Y'all get in there tight now. Black, how many people have touched you so far, Black? All of them. He says all of them, all right? All right, now, and understand something now. Listen to me. All of them. All right, look here. Don't get caught up in here and miss this. All of them had touched him. All of them, as they're walking, let's walk. Everybody try to walk together, all right? All of them, as they're walking, is touching him. Are you here? Yeah. Hey, y'all do it quietly, all right? Never mind. All of them had touched him. All of them had issues. But none of them got their healing. Except for one. The Bible says that came in the press. I don't know how she came. It could have been, she could have done, what do they call it? Body surfing in there. Given her disease, I'm doubting that happened, all right? But what if, let me find some boys. What if she come through? The Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment. Just listen to me. She had so much faith. She had so much faith. Jairus said, you got to come to my daughter and you've got to touch her. This woman who's not even named, all we know is she's named daughter. All we know is that this is the only woman in the Bible that Jesus called daughter. Ooh. And her faith said this, you ain't got to come where I am. All I have to do is touch, not you, the clothes. Her faith, she said, no, I ain't got to get to you. I ain't got to get you to my house. All I got to do is just the best I can touch his clothes as he passed by. As some commentators say that this was up on his jacket, or the hem was referred to as tassels. I'm just going to go with the Bible. Y'all do whatever you want to, all right? Y'all can preach it when you have a church. He touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, he said, who touched me? Y'all seeing this? Y'all try to walk again. Oh, man. That's Jesus that said that, by the way. How many people is touching him? Listen to me. There's a lot of people that's coming into contact with him. There's a lot of folks that's come into contact with him. But they ain't never touched him. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. There's a lot of folks that's come into contact with him. You come into contact with him in some church that you grew up with. You come in contact with him because of some preacher that you knew. You come in contact with him because of some Sunday school teacher. You come in contact with him because your mama and your daddy told you about him. But you ain't never touched him. And your issues this morning are just as much as everybody else. We all, somebody help me right here, we all got issues. But the only one, all of them had issues. But the only one that got help was the one that reached out in faith and touched the hem of his garment. Thank y'all. Y'all can have a seat. Her approach. She had a knowledge of him. She had a knowledge of him. She had faith in him. The Bible says that she came from behind. The Bible says that she reached out. The Bible says that she touched his clothes. I want to say this. She was hesitant about it. As you can imagine, if anybody found out about her issue, it would be bad news for her. You're talking about being cast out. If anybody found out about her issue, it'd be, can I say this? You're worried about somebody finding out about your issue. You got an issue and you're walking around with it, you're living with it, and you've tried to get rid of it. You tried everything you know to get rid of it. And you're so worried that somebody else will find out about it. You keep to yourself and you're real private about it. I remember when I first got into preaching, all them boys, they get up there and, man, they just rattle off. They go to preaching. I can't do that, y'all. I'm liable to cuss. I'm serious. Somebody help me right here. I didn't grow up like that. Anyhow, a lot of times I'd get up there and I'm telling you, I think my contact just popped out. I'd get up there and I'd get to preaching and I would hold back because I was worried that everybody in there would hear me say a cuss word. How many of y'all remember when you first got saved? Anybody else do that? I remember I was a kid and they took us on a camping trip and the preacher was walking with me. I was with the preacher. It's like midnight. We're walking down this road and you know how youth leaders are. They want to scare you. Help me now. Y'all know what I mean? Everybody wants to scare you and everything else. Well, we had this fella named Ed. I can't remember Ed's last name. But you remember him? Ed, he had a limp. I think he had one leg shorter than the other. I'm not sure, but he had a limp. It was bad. And I remember Ed, he was out there helping with the teenagers, and he done snuck off in the woods, Brother Herman. So we're walking down the road, and all through the woods, you can hear Ed trying to gracefully walk through it. Everything cracking and breaking and carrying on. And the preacher's working this thing up. He said, oh, somebody's going to come and get us. We got to be careful, y'all. Let's stick together. And I'm just mean. Y'all hear me? I was mean. I'm listening to him, and I'm sitting back there, and I keep hearing stuff break, and I'm like, I done reached down. I done picked up something. I'm walking next to the preacher. All us teenage boys is out there, and they're going to scare us good. And the preacher said, something's going to pop out of these woods and get us. I said, first I'm going to cuss, and then I'm going to beat whatever it is to death. I never forget that preacher said, boy, you better not be cussing. I said, I'll cuss him. I'll cuss all y'all. He better not pop out of them woods. Somebody help me right here. They better not be no human being come out of them woods or he's going to be in trouble. I remember, I'm telling you. Preacher said, all right, that's enough. Don't get jumping out in these kids. Somebody help me. I wasn't saved. Man, as I grew up, like I said, when I got saved and I started preaching, all them boys, they just rattling it off like it wasn't nothing, and I'd get up there and I'd have to think about everything I said, because it might come out the wrong way. Somebody help me right here. I was trying to hide my issues. And some of you today sitting in here and you're trying to hide your issue. You don't want anybody to know what's going on in your life. You're struggling at home. I need somebody to help me. Let's just get serious for a minute. Y'all done had a fight this morning. Got in the car. Y'all were cussing one another. Got out at the church house talking about, hey, how y'all? Nice to see y'all. Blessed and highly favored. All glory to God. And the kids are sitting there, yeah. Your kids are sitting there waiting for the sequel when y'all get back in the car. Preacher, Rocky II's fixing to happen in the car. But we hiding our ailments. Yeah. Somebody's walked in here, man, you struggled just to get to this church. Because you're battling depression, you're battling bitterness, you're battling anger. You pulled up into this church parking lot and you put on a smile. Somebody walked up to you and said, how are you doing? You said, I'm doing good, but you ain't. I'm fine. I'm fine, preacher, but you're not. You got issues and it's tearing you up. You know what to set this woman apart from everybody else in that crowd? She had faith in the one that she was touching. She tried everything else. Listen to me, you tried everything else. Why don't you try Jesus this morning? Why don't you try Jesus this morning? We see she had faith in him. We see that she was hesitant. We see that, I see in verse number 29, the Bible says this, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Can I say you and I come to Jesus by faith? And we come to Jesus because of truth. But let me say to you right now, you can feel it. I need somebody to help me right here. There's a lot of churches that teach you can't feel nothing. There's a lot of churches that tell you that you need to keep emotions out of. You know, 95% of us made up of emotions. And we try to suppress them when we get to church. The very place that we ought to show emotion, the very place that we ought to have freedom to worship, is the very place that everybody tells us, now don't be doing nothing crazy at the church house. Y'all keep it down now. Y'all keep it down. She felt cleansed by him. Let me tell you, I'll never forget the day I got saved. Yes, sir. And how many of you can testify with me right here? Yes, sir. You felt like a burden was lifted off of your shoulders. What you fighting and what you battling today, listen to me. Jesus will take from you. You got an opportunity this morning to get to him. All you got to do is touch him. Let me ask you this question this morning. Will you bring it to him this morning? Lastly, we're going to look at her arraignment. This was crazy. She come in. She's doing it secretly. She walked in. We talked about her approach and how she reached in and she touched the hem of his garment. She felt immediately that she was cleansed. But he stopped the whole procession. He said, who touched me? The Bible says that she was trembling with fear. It said in verse number 33, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He stopped in his tracks and he said, who touched me? The disciples said, serious man, everybody's touching you. What do you mean? Why would you ask who's touching you? Everybody's touching you. And he turned around. The Bible says this, and he looked round about to see her that had done the thing. Hey, he ain't called her out yet, and she ain't told him he done it yet, but he knew. Right. Somebody help me right here. The Bible says that, look, go up to verse number 32 right there, Miss Jenny, if you will. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. This is right after he asked, who touched me? And he turned around and looked at her like. Verse number 33, Miss Jenny. The Bible says this, but the woman fearing and trembling, scared to death. Could you imagine being in her position? Not allowed to be around anybody, not allowed to touch anybody, not allowed to have anybody touch her. And here she is. She went against every bit of it. She come into a crowd. She come into a place. She had no business. She was supposed to stand out. She was just like a leper of the day. She was supposed to stand outside away from everybody. A leper had to cry unclean, unclean to keep people from coming to him. She had broken all the rules and came to where he was at. Because of that press, think about this. How many people did she touch that day just to get to him? And she probably thought in herself, as soon as he noticed that he had known that he was unclean. Yeah, it's going to be in a minute. He had thought, or she had thought, that because she had touched him, she had made him unclean. But he never was unclean. Somebody help me. No matter what she put on him, he was still. Hey, listen to me. I don't care what you bring to Jesus. I don't care what sin you bring to him. You put it on him all you want to, he's still spotless. He's still precious. He's still the Son of God. And though it didn't change anything about him, it changed everything about her. I need some help right here. Your sin won't change anything about him or anything about his power, but his power will change who you are. It changed everything about her. Her fearing and trembling came and fell down before him. Oh Lord. y'all get this in a minute. She felt clean. She busted now, caught. Thought she'd taken something from him, find out he just gave her something. And she came down, fell down, and worshiped him. I noticed about this woman, her judge being Christ, her worship, she fell down in reverence to him. But let's not take away the last part of the verse. The Bible says, and told him all the truth. I read that little phrase and I thought about that woman over in John chapter number 4 that sat on the well with him. Yeah. She ran going out to all the town, and she told all the people in the town, come see a man that told me all I ever did. This woman, she bowed down. She fell down at his feet and she worshiped him. She showed reverence to him and she confessed all. Can't take that last part out. Told him all the truth. And then I want you to notice this, her salvation. In her arraignment, we see her judge, we see her worship, but I want you to notice her salvation. This was something that the Lord, I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The Bible says, and he said unto her, daughter, as I said, she's the only one in Scripture that he gave a name of daughter to. He said, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Leave that verse up there if you will, Miss Jenny. As we look at this thing, I want you to notice something. He stopped what he was doing and he called her out. Called her on the carpet, let's say. And she had to answer for what she had done, for touching him. She comes, she fell down at his feet, and she confessed all the truth. She told him everything, told him all the truth. And the Bible says he called her daughter. Now, that ain't significant enough of us being children of God, and I don't know what it is, but let's go on. He said, thy faith had made thee whole. Say, why did he embarrass her like that? He wasn't embarrassing her. He was helping her right here. If she would have touched him and she would have went on in secret, then there would have been some doubt, Brother Jim. How many of you have ever been through a battle of doubt? I need somebody to help me. Don't be lying to me. Everybody's been in a battle of doubt about your salvation. If he'd have just left her alone, she would have got home and thought, well, am I really healed? Or is it just something that happened while I was there? But he told her, he said, thy faith had made thee whole. She needed this more than he did. It was an embarrassing situation, no doubt, but she needed it more than he did because she got assurance of her salvation. Not only that, but the people around her got assurance that she was clean. I mean, could you imagine going and saying, I'm clean, I'm good. I, after 12 years of being unclean, running around saying, it's all right. I can go back to my family now. I can go back to my children now. I can go back and see my mom and daddy now. How many of you would have believed her? Oh, I need some help. I need some help. Somebody gets saved and they get something happens in their life and they go out and they get drunk and all of a sudden you've done pinned them as not being saved anymore. We have a hard time forgiving people. Somebody help me. Somebody does something we don't like and all of a sudden we got to say, well, they ain't saved. They ain't no way they're saved. They ain't no way they're saved. Let me say this. You didn't come to their salvation. You wasn't there when God saved them. God will be the judge of that. And you and I just need to love them. I need some help right there. I'll go ahead and amen myself. Amen. She needed it. The people around her needed it. But there was an old boy that had come and grabbed him and said, I need you to go see my little girl. She's 12 years old. And she's dying. And God knew in just a few seconds there was going to be a servant that come up and said, never mind, don't bother him. She's dead. But he got to see. Man, he healed her. And he didn't even touch her. He healed her. Come on, I need, man, that's good. I don't care what. He told Jesus, if you'll come, you got to come to where she's at. In other words, you got to come touch her for her to be healed. Jesus said, who touched me? That's so good. Somebody run a lap. He said, hey, he said, you got to come to where I'm at. You got to come to where my problem is, and you've got to touch it. And Jesus said, who touched me? I didn't touch anybody. Who touched me? And then turned around and said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. I bet Jairus was sitting there and he's saying, this guy's more powerful than I thought. Hey, this guy can handle more than I thought. We'll get on that next Sunday. I promise you. Well, I ain't gonna promise you nothing, but if the Lord allow, we'll get on that next Sunday. Amen. But it was for Jairus,
yes, sir,
who was fixing to get news that his daughter was dead. And Jairus knew this man had power, yes, just sir, by, just in his clothes. He had enough power to take care of his problem.
Yes, he did.
He came. She came in the press. She reached out for him. I'll say this, I'm done on her salvation. I forgot this, so this is so good. In Leviticus, I'll let you go and read it. Leviticus chapter number 15, it talks about this issue of blood. It talks about how they couldn't be touched, how they couldn't touch anything. We also know that the leper was the same way in the Bible. He couldn't touch anything. They couldn't touch him. I'm putting this together. There was a leper cleansed and healed in Matthew chapter number 8. It's also reported in the Gospel of Mark and also in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus healed him and told him, go show thyself to the high priest and do as Moses said so that you'd be clean. But this one,
yes,
he said, go in peace,
yep,
and be whole of thy plague.
Yes.
This was where he said, I'm the high priest.
Yes.
Not only called her son, a child of God, called her daughter, and declared her faith had made her whole, but he said, I'm the high priest. This is good enough. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I want to help you this morning. We all have issues. Every one of us. Your issue may be different than mine. Your issue may be different than your husband's. Your issue may be different than your children's. Your issue may be different than your parents'. But we all have issues. We've tried everything in the world to fix our issues, but the only fix for our issues is Christ.
That's right. Yes,
there is a way. Remember the song we sang?
Oh, yes,
there is. Dalton, get on that piano if you will. The only way you're going to get help with your issues this morning is to bring them to Him.
Right.
Let me encourage you this morning to come touch Him. Come get a hold of Him on this altar. I ain't talking about casual contact. We're glad you're in church. I praise the Lord for that. But come touch Him this morning. Come get help for your issues this morning. Come find a place in the altar this morning. I'm talking to Christians right now. Come find a place in the altar this morning and help get a hold of Him for your issues. Say, I'm too embarrassed. She was too. But there's somebody in this audience that needs to see your faith. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you a question. I generally end the service like this. But I want you to be honest with me this morning. Say, my issue, preacher, is I just know about him. I just have a knowledge of him, but I've never touched him. If that's you this morning, say, preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know. Listen to me. Listen, everybody's listening. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. We all gonna face death. There's always, every single one of us has a day. And if your day was today, if your day is before you lay your head down on a pillow tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Nobody's looking around. All heads are bowed. All eyes are closed. It's just me and you and the Lord. The Lord knows it all. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest and serious with me right now. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I want you to look right up at me and make eye contact. I'll not call you out or embarrass you, I promise you. I just want to know how to end the service. Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure if I go to heaven or I go to hell. Preacher, I'm not sure. If that's you, I want you to look right up at me. I'm not going to send anybody to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. You can put your head down. I see you. Who else will be honest with the preacher this morning? If you're in the balcony, I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I want you to just wave at me if you're saying, preacher, I'm not sure. Just put your hand up. It's all right. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask you to do something for me this morning. Still not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Not coming to where you're at. But I am going to come right down front here. I want to help you if you'll allow me to help you. I'm going to ask you this morning. Your choice, your decision. But if I could take a Bible or if I had somebody in this church that could take a Bible and show you how to be saved, would you allow us to do that this morning? If you would, I want you to do this. I want you to get up out of your seat. Nobody's looking around. I want you to come right here where I'm at. I'll meet you halfway if you'll come. You know what you need to do. It's your choice, your decision. Would you come? It was the faith of this woman that brought her to Jesus. How's your faith this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you. Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be with this one that's being dealt with this morning. God, I pray today be the day of salvation in their life. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. We all have issues. We all have something going on in our lives, Lord, we're not proud about. Things we struggle with. God, I pray this morning some folks have brought those issues to you. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd take it from them in Jesus' name. Amen.